Hello everyone, I'm George from Ireland. Well, welcome back to my channel. I'm commenting on this effigy of one of these boats of illegal immigrants meant to be crossing the English Channel, and it was to put on top of a bonfire in Northern Ireland. This is going back to the 9th of July. Now, if you don't know much about Northern Ireland, you ought to be informed that around the 12th of July, loyalists they often build bonfires in celebration of the Battle of the Boyne fought in 1690 on the 1st of July, but because of shifting the Gregorian calendar, is marked on the 12th of July these days. So they collect wooden pallets, you know, the ones that are used for delivering stuff. They pile them up and then they burnt them at a place called Moy Gashall. And so this has been going on for centuries, and whatever, there's a it's a feel-good event, it's whatever. Meant to be family fun, a communal event. Now, there are those who vehemently disagree with loyalism. So, loyalists want Northern Ireland to stay part of the United Kingdom. Their identity is British and it's not Irish. And what else? And they are Protestant. You can be a Catholic Unionist. I don't think you can be a Catholic Loyalist. Anyway, I'm a Unionist and I'm not a Protestant. I don't object to loyalism. I don't like the idea that you have to be Protestant to be British. I don't think loyalists go that far these days. Obviously, you know, the United Kingdom is for people of all ethnicities and all religions and those of no religion and so on. But this mock-up of the boats across in the English Channel, that really was revolting, as in burning them in effigy. So it says, "Stop the boats." All right, that's an honourable motto, and that was actually Conservative Party policy. Labour now says smash the gangs, but their three-word slogan is meant to be the same thing: to prevent illegal immigration. If people want to move to the United Kingdom, they've got to come through a legal route. They want to claim asylum, they have to come through a legal port of entry, get a visa first, and then claim asylum. So then it said veterans before refugees. All right, you might agree with that, you might disagree with that. I wouldn't object to that as such. But what really is disgraceful is burning these people in effigy. So do you actually want to burn them? Do you want to kill them? Maybe not going that far, but it is expressing excessive hatred to them. Obviously, entering the country is illegally is a crime, and I'm told, I'm not sure this is true, but there's no other way to do it than that's lawful and so on. You can sometimes be allowed to stay anyway. Well, quite often they are allowed to stay anyway. One of the problems the United Kingdom was such a big problem with illegal immigration, people claiming asylum on a bogus basis, is because they got 90% of them are granted whatever leave to remain, which is a far higher percentage than almost any other country in the world. This could be seen to be menacing. Some people find it very insulting. People argue it's racialist, so it's very unpalatable. It's despicable. They should not have done that. Now, bonfire has been going on for centuries to mark various occasions to spray to display things, and all shades of unionist opinion have denounced this. I don't know whose idea it was. Please don't judge unionists in general or loyalists by this, by their worst members. It's very bad news. And these people who crossed the English Channel illegally, you know, they're human too. I don't want them to be killed. I might want them to be expelled in many cases, but you know, they still have to be treated with compassion. They still have some human rights. They say never judge a man till you walk a mile in his shoes. So you put yourself in their situation. If you're growing up in horrendous tyranny in Turkmenistan or North Korea or Afghanistan or whatever, would you do likewise? But those people, if they were British, would they hold the same view that the country is full or we can surely be having come illegally? It's grossly unfair. And people who came legally, those who come illegally, get to jump the queue. And it's an ever-growing burden on the taxpayer. And I'm one of them to pay to people, house people in hotels, provide them with meals, other money to school their children, provide them healthcare, and when they get out, okay, sometimes they contribute to the economy, if they're allowed to say, sometimes they don't, they're dragging the economy. It's just not fair. And obviously some of them then are trafficked or, you know, sold into slavery and things like that. And clearly the situation is unmanageable. It needs to be drastically changed. And this has bedeviled both Conservative and Labour governments. The problem's got even worse under Labour. I don't know what the solution is. There's no magic bullet. I use that metaphorically. I don't want actual bullets or anything like that to be used. Maybe a concatenation of policies, and the totality of which would stop them, as in, yes, targeting the smuggling gangs, but tried for ages, paying the French police to stop them, which is met with limited success, stopping people getting access to these inflatable boats, turning them back at sea, something like the Rwanda plan, but obviously not to Rwanda, so many legal obstacles, leaving the European Convention on Human Rights, and reducing the incentives, deals with countries to return people more often. And people, the law being changed, the presumption being that you're an adult unless you can prove otherwise, and sometimes just by a dental examination, they prove someone's definitely under 18. I'm not sure what else could be. Or the idea that they can never get citizenship even if they are allowed to remain. Yeah, one thing I thought about is sponsors. If people come illegally, if someone's willing to take full financial responsibility and pay something like £30,000 up front, they can get that person can stay or something like that. So there's no burden on the taxpayer. All these bleeding heart lefties, and they can put their money where their mouth is. But what do you think? Yeah. So loyalists around that they're often extolling King Billy, that's William III, the Prince of Orange, who was Stadtholder of the Netherlands, and later King of England, King of Scots, King of Ireland. And it doesn't, obviously doesn't suit either loyalists or many nationalists to remember that there was Catholics and Protestants on both sides. King Billy was, or he was the ally of the Pope, which is why the Pope ordered Te Deum to be sung in celebration of the Battle of the Boyne. James II, though a Catholic, was an enemy of the Pope. He was an ally of King Louis XIV, the Sun King. What else? In Irish nationalism didn't exist in the 17th century. We had a connection with Great Britain, and we didn't have a parliamentary union, but that wasn't questioned that we'd have some connection with Great Britain, that the King of Ireland would be the same person who's King of Scots and the same chap who's King of England, and so forth. So it causes complications for both sides. You like to say King Billy was for Protestantism against Catholicism. I mean, like that's not true, or that, and it wasn't a victory of unionism because, of course, the Act of Union wasn't passed or even suggested. There had been a brief parliamentary union at the time of the British Republic, the Commonwealth, in the 1650s. I shan't mention who was the Lord Protector in those days because his name is thought to be malodorous in West Britain. So today's debates are not the same as those of 1690, which some people seem to forget. So let's not have dehumanizing effigies, which are really a disgrace to loyalism and to unionism generally, and trash the reputation. They play into the hands of the enemies of loyalism, and they allow them to paint loyalists as bigots and so on. So it's got to be a modern forward-looking British identity, a more inclusive identity, and not backward-looking, and not living in this distorted version of the 17th century. Thank you for watching my channel.